Welcome once again to The Cutting Edge, produced by the Indigenous Fashion Collective. Today we are joined by two designers that have produced and showcased their incredible art last night at the Res Fashion Show. And we're here today just to talk a little bit about what some of their inspiration is, what their process may be, and learn more from Norma Baker Flying Horse from Red Berry Woman, as well as Kayla Looking Horse from K Looking Horse. And as always, I am joined by co-host Sarah Eagleheart and Twyla True, and I'm Lillian Sparks Robinson. So we've just started a new thing at the last podcast. This is podcast number 3. So everyone is watching the evolution of how we're doing this. And it's fun, right? It's fun. So we go around the table and we highlight something that we're wearing, something that we're proud to be wearing and makes us fun. It doesn't have to be Indigenous or Native made. It can be whatever, but just highlight a designer. And I can go first. So last time I highlighted my necklace, but this time I want to highlight these dentellium earrings with shells at the bottom and beads. And the reason why is because my co-producer, Cora K. Chandler, gave these to me last year on behalf of Norma, Kayla, as well as the other designers, or other designer, Angela Howe. So thank you guys for that. I wear them all the time.
It's really good.
Yeah.
If I put this on, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work. I have to take something off. It's too much. But you really pull it off really nicely.
Thank you.
Well, we were just talking on the previous one. I highlighted the diamonds that I'm wearing, the gifts that I received from Twyla True and from Twyla True Fine Jewelry. But I also have dentellium earrings that I do not remember the designer, so I feel really bad. And I wear them all the time. They're like my go-to like workday earrings. So I've been trying to integrate diamonds and dentellium has kind of been my thing. And I know Lillian has been really into like, she's like, I'm going to make beads and pearls together. That's going to be pearls. The combo.
Yeah. I wear pearls almost daily. So that's why, Kayla, you don't have to highlight your earrings. But I did have to say, like, there's something similar. Yeah.
Yes. These beads and pearls are made by Collins Jordan. She is Lakota as well. Yeah, so I was really excited to work with her because we have the same value system of, you know, putting our stories and where we come from into our work. So, you know, kind of creating that good positive energy. But I want to highlight kind of my jacket that I'm wearing. So this is my bomber, you know, designed to accent a woman's body with a lapel. So we have more of a business casual look, you know, some custom dentillion. I mean, not dentillion. the denim. Denim patches from my recent collection, the signature collection. So, yes.
I love it.
I just love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's fashionable, yet business. So I love how you pulled it together. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
That's really the thing here at this conference is the mixing of something contemporary into, you know, business. And I like how business attire is no longer stuffy. It's actually, you know, we're bringing back the Julia Roberts oversized coat from, you know, the Oscars of 90s. I'm aging myself. But I love it because I'm all about it. And then, but the other thing is I'm also one of these people who's like, I love jewelry no matter if it's Indigenous or not. And I'll be honest, I'm not really a diamonds girl. I'm more of an elk tooth. I got super excited to see that in the jewelry box. So, but I am going to highlight these earrings, which are made by Joseph. And I don't ever like saying his last name because I can't say it correctly. I always butcher it. Does anybody here know his last name? Joseph. He's a Blackfoot designer. Not even a designer. He's actually an artist. He's a ledger artist. And so he pulled his work. Fifth generation is working with him to make these earrings. And they are like my favorite pair of earrings right now because I'm all about the gold and the white. I don't know what it is, but
beautiful.
I love how our Indigenous artists are following the trends of the major industries, not to copy, but to show what Native fashion is. To take something that is contemporary that has been forced upon us and to make it our own. So he does that so beautifully. I mean, yeah, so it starts with a P, but I swear to God, I'm going to say it so wrong. You guys need to go to see his website. He is phenomenal. And Fifth Generation has been absolutely amazing at highlighting Indigenous artists like him because I feel like they they don't always produce mass production like Kayla and I, but the stuff they do produce is so beautiful, and it's really a collective piece, you know. So I think we need to start doing more of a highlight of those types of artists as well. So yeah, that's who I did on Wearing On today. And I'm like, I'm not very big on wearing my own stuff. I don't know why. I'll wear everybody else's. I'm like, I want to wear my own shirt, so I don't know why.
I kind of feel like it's like a walking advertisement.
Yes.
I'm like, super excited for everybody else to wear it. Yeah. I get as excited to see a celebrity wearing my stuff as I do someone who's just attending the conference. I'm like, oh my God, I'm wearing
well, I am wearing my own things today. So I have Twyla True Fine Jewelry on, and I'm very happy. I seem to enjoy emeralds, diamonds, and rubies. I don't remember who I am wearing today. We had asked. Okay, so that's who I'm wearing on earrings today. And as we said, we love mixing it. We love mixing tradition and modern and stones, different stones. So it's a lot of fun to see how we're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I just actually heard about her last night, this designer you guys are wearing today.
This is Twyla.
I just heard about her last night.
This is Twyla.
I've never seen it, and it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You got to try it on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Twyla, I think you just
no Twyla in diamonds now.
There's no way.
You don't even fit in my biggie.
Yeah.
No, they brought her up. They brought all of her stuff up, and I'm like, I need to meet her. And now we're sitting here.
Yes. Super fun.
Twyla, you know, like when somebody says that they really love something.
I know it. Is it a gift?
Oh my God.
Don't take it back.
Stunning. Wow.
Martha, I just feel so fine that I'd be.
This would be a cool thumb ring.
Yeah, you got a thumb ring.
So, really well. There's me. I'm like, where's my rings? Oh, God. This is why they just look at my knife. I'll lose jewelry. I lose jewelry. It's horrible. So, yeah. No, but I just heard about you last night. I was like, this sounds so cool that you're doing all this stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I was going on and on about her work last night, and I had dinner with Patricia Michaels and Tantu, and we were talking about all the different designers that they had seen through all the conference and how wonderful things were that, you know, that we were expanding into this area and we're highlighting all these different types of people who are not just fashion designers, but they're in the mix.
Yes.
Right. So that was a really good conversation last night. That's what we should add on today too, was bring Tantu in.
So Patricia Michaels is on our first podcast.
Oh, she is fun.
Isn't she great?
And Tom are part of our advisory committee.
Oh, she's more than just fashion.
That's great.
I love that she's not just someone you can look up to as a designer, and that she's literally, you know, I made it onto Project Runway's auditions. I actually didn't even audition. They actually just called me and like, you come out here, we want to put you up. Yeah, so I actually got to like the top three from the group I was in, and I was so thinking of Patricia the whole time, and that's what I'd like to see us do more of, is like, not, we're not competing with one another. We're inspired by one another, and it shouldn't be a competition. It should be, you know, someone's doing something different. Someone's getting into, you know, this area, and we should be excited that they're doing so, because there's room for everybody.
Yeah, everyone. Absolutely. We were just saying earlier how sometimes it can be a little harrowing, at least for me, dressing for conferences, because I'm always thinking, oh God, please, no one else wearing this.
People are, you know, producing things out there.
But like you said, there's room.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. Well, just don't take that chance to say they're like me. Like, oh, I have to, like, I'm really critical of my work. And it's so funny to me when someone else likes to wear it, because I'm just like, no one's going to like this. I'll be honest with you, that Kwanda dress, I didn't think she'd like it. But she wore the Oscars, so I was like, okay, if you liked it.
Yeah, so I want to know more about that dress and what was the inspiration.
Wow. Yes.
Gosh. You know, actually, she was supposed to wear the dress last year for when she got nominated for the Model of the Year in Paris. And she wanted to wear it then. However, when she found out that for those types of events, you have like Gucci and Louis Vuitton. You have all these different big names that they will pay for a model to wear certain things, which is part of the modeling industry, which is why they're called models, because they are there to promote and sell items. And so the dress that I made her, she wasn't able to wear because I can't remember, recall off the top of my head which designer it was she had to wear, but, or not had to, but she wore. And that's what part of the game. That's part of the game. And I wasn't insulted at all, actually. I was kind of relieved. It was a different type of dress. I've never done it before, but Quan is a different type of woman as well. You know, she's such a strong spirit, and I've known, been following her forever, and to meet her and become friends with her and her mother has been truly amazing, because you can just feel that force. And so the dress, I wanted that to be representational of how black feathers, I wanted it to be strong, and I wanted it to be very very Lakota. So the choker's hand beaded with Lakota and Dakota. She's Lakota, I'm Dakota. And so the designs are real similar, but I put both into the choker. And so she kept it with her. And I told her, just keep it, because she's, you got a ton of events, you're not done. Like, that's not the last one. So wear it to something, wear it to a barbecue, something, And so she's like, oh, okay. And then she texts me like a couple days before the Oscar. She's like, hey, just so you know, don't tell anybody, but I'm wearing your dress. And I'm going, oh, my God. And I go, wait. Was I making you a dress? I started getting freaked out. And she's like, no, the red one you gave me last year. And so I'm like, wow. And then I was thinking, are you sure? It's the Oscars. And I made that on joannefabric.com. So I don't know if. But I mean, here's the thing. The video that she showed me yesterday, that's what topped off dressing her. I've dressed models, people for the runway. I'm actually the first contemporary indigenous designer to have a gown on the Oscar stage during the performance, which was very underrated and common. But all of that accumulated when I got to see the video that she showed me. They were talking, the podcast from Vogue was talking about how Anna Wintour only chose one look for the top looks, and the first and only look that she'd chosen was Quanah. And she said she enjoyed Quanah's look, and she wanted to make sure, and she literally, and this was behind the scenes, that Quanah had found out that she had went in and submitted it to the press and said that we're asking about the best dress list, and she said this is the look that I want you to make sure you put in there. And when she told me this, I literally, it's like right now, I'm trying not to, I swear, my makeup artists are so angry at me. I cried so much yesterday. They were like, we're just not going to put makeup on you. So anyway, I bawled. It's Anna Wintour. She's the gatekeeper of fashion.
Yes.
Fashion. Whether it's native, whatever it is, she's the gatekeeper. Mm. And I have been watching her. I literally watch her, like, training podcasts. I'm like, and to have her say that a look that I created is phenomenal. But here's the other part of it that really gets me. And I'm not the type of person who's going to act like I'm working with expensive threads and I'm supposed to fabric. I'm not. I'm from the res, and I find I'm making it work. I live on the Fort Worth Indian Reservation, where everything is so far away. And so that dress was really just something that, like Kayla and I have done, we've found manufacturers to print our material. And we do it the best we can with what little we have and what budgets that, that we don't have. I don't think I've ever had a budget. When people ask me about a budget, I was like, I don't know enough to buy this. So you guys bringing us in and doing all of this development, economic development, when we're asked to do these types of dresses, we're asked to put these things together, we're not using materials that we can only access. And that's really what that was. That dress was really something made of materials that I was able to access and alter because I'm an upcycler. And so that really, I think, showed the Oscars that, look, you guys need to scale it back. I mean, wear a dress from last year or the year before, upcycle it, have someone change the whole thing. We need to start doing some more environmentally safe things. So for her to wear an upcycled dress on the runway by an indigenous woman, and then have Anna Wintour acknowledge it,
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Congratulations.
Yes. I think what's great about that too is, you know, on the podcast and what we mean by this collective is sharing that knowledge and sharing that information. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you guest hosting with us today, because for the viewers, I mean, that's one of the main points, right? As you mentioned also, we uplift each other. We celebrate each other's wins. Mm-hmm. And every time we win, we want to educate viewers, everybody around us, everybody who's indigenous, Indian country, to say, okay, here's how we got here. Here's how we did it. Because all we want to do is pave the way forward, teach others how to uplift and rise. So appreciate all the teachings and learnings that you're sharing right now.
Mm. It's a tribal thought mentality that we all need to keep. That's one thing Native Fashion really needs to keep, is the tribal thought mentality. When we lose our ability to think tribally, we're losing our ability to be indigenous. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is.
You know what word comes to mind is the Lakota word Wa'unkspe. So, you know, giver of knowledge. And you think about our experiences, our teachings, our storytelling, and we're creating these designs, whether they're, you know, from scratch pattern or we're utilizing the graphics, you know, on the computer technology for today, like 3D rendering and everything. That's all sharing with the people. So Wa'unkspe, the Lakota word, you know, that's what it means, is, you know, giver of knowledge. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of like go off of what you're talking about.
And we're doing it in new contemporary ways.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to stop doing, is putting these stereotypes on us that teaching our cultural ways, it has nothing to do with technology. That's not true. We are living in a different world. Our Sioux people made what was called the penny dress. The penny dress was the actual penny with a hole put into it and put on our dress. The reason we made this dress was to signify the new world. We knew, even then, the first time they stepped off that boat, we knew a new world was coming, and we were going to have to figure out who we were in that world, and we were going to have to figure out how to survive and how to maintain who we were. And that dress represents that, because if you see our dresses, there's hundreds of these pennies put onto this dress. But we do with a little bit of something, because the reason we put a hole through Lincoln's head is so that he'll listen next time. You'll know better next time. If you're not able to, you should be able to share those stories with what you're creating. And it should be something that was shared with you, and so on and so forth. And that's what it is to be indigenous, an indigenous designer. I've been an indigenous designer my whole life. I started making my outfits when I was a little girl. That was Native fashion. That's the original Native fashion. But like Kayla's saying, you know, sharing this knowledge, you're also sharing how you do what you do, because we're all just figuring it out. We're all just figuring out how to make this work. We're all just trying to feed our kids and pay our bills, and the end of the day, that's what it is. And if we can't remember that or respect that about each other, then we got no business calling ourselves indigenous.
I think what I love is that the story that you tell through your fashion. And I wonder, what story are you telling in your fashion?
So for Kay Looking Course, I grew up in a spiritual upbringing. I have a very traditional family, you know, so I had a very humbling childhood. I want to say, like, more so free. I spent a lot of time riding horses. My family, you know, was very much like in what you would consider poverty, you know, on the res. We lived in a log cabin, and we didn't even have like floors. It was like dirt floors. And when I think about that, it's inspiring because of the resiliency and the strength that primarily my family is mostly women. So that matriarchal strength is something that is inherent. So when I think about designing, mine is more like, so like dreaming, or like it just kind of comes and flows, you know, whether the creativity is there and I see it or I don't, and I wait for it to happen. So for me, sharing experiences of good energy, sharing experiences of just having a good time, and making fashion more so on the level of celebration, because we're original peoples of this land. And when you think about all the elements that we utilize in our traditional regalia, when you think about contemporary, we are contemporary. We have been. Ventilian shells, you know, utilizing all the furs, the leather, all of that, you know, I mean, look, we have leather here. It's just in a different version. So, you know, for me, sharing my story is sharing an energy and experience, and to talk about a love and a light of how we live. And we're good with that because we know who we are, where we come from, our ceremonies, like that's strength, you know, and that's a different level of understanding when it comes to, you know, just trying to get into what is storytelling. Mm-hmm. It's an experience, you know, so I would really love people to buy a piece of clothing and feel like, oh my God, like I remember hearing a story about, you know, this penny dress. Like I have a dress, a bodycon that's called the penny dress. And it was just inspired by the fact that we have the penny dresses, and I just try to capture that color mm-hmm. because, for one, it's healing. It looks great on everyone's skin tone, you know, and just kind of going off of all of those things that make fashion beautiful. You mm-hmm. want to feel confident, you want to feel loved, but you also want, like, just to know who you're supporting, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the thing that you don't always get to see the designer. So to be here and be in the light is such an honor, you know, so thank you guys. But that's basically, you know, sharing like who I am and where I come from and my family and, you know, my uncle Orville Looking Horse has been such a huge inspiration in my work because I always do the consulting. You know, I don't want to move forward without something that I don't know about, mm-hmm. you know, so I think that that's the most important thing mm-hmm. is brand story. The three lines on my brand represent past, present, future. So you'll see it implemented everywhere. I also have a bracelet here by my good friend Lionel Thundercloud. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want a brand bracelet that I can wear all the time. Mm-hmm. And so he did the Tufa casting and just had added his own touch. I said, whatever touch you want to add into it, I just need the three lines. So I have past, present, future, it's always with me. So I always want to share that in my design work, mm-hmm. you know. We talk about where this came from, the stories, you know, and presently, and then we're trying to traject, like, what's the next trend? What's the cool thing? Like, you mm-hmm. know, so I'm, like, always wanting to be on a very, like, all right, I see this. We need to do this for a design, you know, or, you know, just wanting the buyers or the wearers to feel confident. So mm-hmm. that's how I design, and that's mm-hmm. kind of where, you know, it happens for me is just mm-hmm. thinking about all those great experiences I had.
It comes through. It comes through the clothes. Yeah. I think we mm-hmm. saw it last night. Mm-hmm. And so I want to get into the show. I mean, So Sarah and I were talking earlier, and she threw this question out there, you know, what was your favorite piece from last night? And the other people we were visiting with they wanted to be politically correct and didn't want to say, I'd like to say this. So Sarah, why don't you share your favorite piece and I'll share mine because we have them with us.
Yeah, my favorite piece was your dress with the cape.
Dr. Jones.
The beaded, yeah. That was my favorite piece because I just love the integration of our traditional clothes right. in with contemporary. I love that. Like,
she's like so short, but she rocked it.
Oh, that was amazing.
It was
amazing.
Like, she was like, that was your mom.
It was her.
Like, that was my mom. Just, yeah, but yeah. Yeah, I'll just say going crazy over it.
Oh, I know. I nearly would. Yeah, no. I had a similar top. When I was little, my grandmother made it for me, and I still have it. And there was times where it's not completely done because by the time she got done with it, of course, I had growth spurt and I wanted to dance jingle. So
you could have started a new trend.
I'm not setting trends. Hold on. I've been since I was in the power world, but no, that's what I wanted people to see last night is that. I would say that, you know, powwow doesn't make you indigenous. It doesn't make you native at all. It's part of what we are. It's part of what we do. And we each do it differently because we each come from different backgrounds. And our powwows are not ceremony. They're celebratory events. And so I don't necessarily lean on telling people that I grew up a jambi dancer. And I will say that I'm the granddaughter of Norma Baker, who's one of the original Mandarin singers. So you can about imagine. Practically, you know, royalty in the power world. And why? Because they did the work. During the time when people were not, they weren't allowed to powwow. They weren't allowed to wear their regalia. They weren't having to you know, hide their regalia so that it wouldn't be, you know, taken or punished for it. And then, you know, you moved on into these powwows that were not allowed to happen. Literally, a government restricted us on our celebration, our ceremonies, literally. And now it's trending. And it's like, I want people to see that powwows are not a new thing. They're not something just that everybody, that's all we decide, how we define ourselves. Jolie was wearing a piece where a fully beaded top. When I'd grown up watching women in fully beaded tops, the artistry, the time it takes, the love it takes to do something for someone like that. Mm-hmm. My grandmother used to say that one's really loved. Mm-hmm. And I never understood, like, how do you know? You know, and now I get it. And because there was a lot of loved people on that floor last night. You see a lot of what we, of who we are and where we come from and these stories that we have put into these garments. I have always loved fashion. I used to buy the toy high heels from Kmart, you know, and like, you know, and I put rocks from the ranch around in my purse, and I didn't want to ride a horse. I wanted to ride in the cars. I had my pretty dress on and, you know, all this stuff. And I took all that, and I took what, on the other side of it, being taught by my grandmother how to bead and taught by my mother how to sew. And I took all of that, and I'm trying to teach people that it's the teachings that I received on how to do these things, to dance, to sew, to be a part of these. That's what's made me Indigenous. And so when I tell people, oh, yeah, I did this first because I powwow, Germans powwow. So it's not anything that's, to me, that says who I really am. So I wanted people to see that I am a beater. I am a, you know, I beaded my own outfits reluctantly, actually. At the time, I didn't want to do it, but my grandma made me because it was no. When everyone is outside playing, I'm like, grandma. I'm like, now for next week, hey. That's where my old one. But that's what I wanted people to see with that piece, is that, you know, it's a look into not just me as a fashion designer, but me as an Indigenous woman, that these teachings are passed down to me. And those will always be at the forefront of everything I do. So, and whether they bother anyone else, I really could care less. So
it was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. I loved it.
She fucked it. Like, yes. It was so funny. My hairstylist, she sat down in the chair, and my hairstylist like, what am I supposed to do with this? You're done. She looks so perfect. She's like, I just need some height. But we had to jack the dress up a little bit, but she made it work. She made it work. Yeah. Like, it was good. She pulled it off well.
She walked beautifully.
I know. She's like, where do I go? Which way? I'm like, girl, I'll just go out there and walk. Show them what you're wearing. And I know it's not only all the models last night, because we're so nervous, and oh my gosh, you know. And then to do that, to go in front of that many people who are, you know, that amped up and they're excited, and you're nervous because they just got done cheering their heads off for somebody, and then you come along and it's like, I'm in there to cheer for me too, you know. So I feel that with them, you know. And I always tell them, get out there and show them what you are. This is your chance to show me what you are. This is your chance to get photos. This is your chance. You. This isn't about me. It's about you. This is what we're doing here. So last night I had my little sister for the first time. She was the one that was in the pink bottom and the buxton top, and she has blonde hair, looks like a white girl's all hell. She knows it. So she's like, get out there and walk. You dance on to show every weekend. You spin around with 20 other women on the floor. You can't do this. So, like, that's the other thing, is that we have that connection. Like, Kayla and I are related, you know, we're cousins. And it's that family connection. It's that tribal connection that we have, that we're able to, like, bark at each other and still be friends at the end of the day. So, you know, that's
really cool. So, yeah. That was
and cool. Black cultural world. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know, when going on top of that, though, there's a quiet confidence, right? It's really amazing to me how Lakota and Indigenous, how they can read a room, and you come in and you're quietly around, and how you watch and you can witness. And you're talking about when they have to do the walk on the fashion, and okay, they're queuing up and you can see it. But you could see, I noticed, just as they're about to come out, You could see them. At first, maybe they're nervous, but then as they get up to cue, you could see it. You could see it, and they're just chomping at the bit. And then when it's time and it just shows, and that confidence and that natural capability inside, that was the part that excited me the most.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what I love is just that, you know, we talked earlier about supporting one another, and that room was full of just so much love and
I'm
at the door and I get smell like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. Do I owe you money? I don't know if they're like trying to get my picture for the neighborhood or because I owe them money and they're trying to paint the glass. I still have that mentality because it doesn't feel real. But when you come here to res and you're so appreciative, you know, like, all the hard work, the late nights, the staying up, and the questioning yourself whether you're doing it right or wrong. When you come to a place like this where community is strength, where community is vibe, it's like, it's like a replenishment, and you remember why you're doing what you're doing. Because it can be hard. It can be hard to be the one that's trying to take the lead, and not just take the lead, just do what you want to do and show that it can be done, you know, by anyone. And so it's really cool to come here to res and walk in the door, and if people see your pieces, they know who you are. They're like, I bought your dress, I bought this, and you were so inspirational to me. And then the stories people share with me, the reason they bought a piece or what they were wearing it for, that right there, just, I love it. I'm here for it. You know, I'm here for it because that they're sharing a small part of, like, graduations, you know, big time graduates, people wear our stuff. And I don't care if it's 100 people, each one of them have a story for why they're wearing it. And I'm here for it because everyone should feel like they're being represented the way they want to be represented, you know? And so I'm glad to be helping people on that journey. It's so fun and cool. And last night, Tantu, we all in this age, I feel like Res is the age group that everyone knows Tattoo. Everyone knows the legend she is. So last night, you know, I had one of my little OG models, the smallest one of all of them, fly a buffalo eye down with her because I forgot to send him with my manager in the truck. So she's like literally hauling a buffalo rope for me. And the reason for that was because I really feel like she needs to be paid homage properly. We just need to give her all the credit that we should because she is the original, the original path maker. She's the one who got out there. She's one of the original ones. And they did it during a time when social media was not here. They had to put themselves out there. They had to leave their families. She comes all the way from Canada. She had to leave her family, go to LA. Because you're right, you have to go where there are, where the production's happening, where things are happening. And good for her, she took that step. So last night, seeing everybody appreciate her the way they did it. I wanted to say thank you to everyone because here's the thing is that I feel she doesn't get enough credit publicly that she should. And I also feel that people think they can't approach her or they can't, you know, and she's the most down-to-earth person. I had to deliver a dress to her for the Osage premiere, and I got to her house, and she was staying in a little, she was waiting for her house to get done, so she was staying in like a little apartment thing, one bedroom. And I had to stay the night, do the things, and fix her dress, and then she was going to take off in the morning for the Osage premiere. I said, okay, so I'll be sleeping on the couch, or the couch in the bed. She's like, no, take the bedroom. I'm like, oh my God, Tantu, you're trying to get me beat up. I'm not going to lay on a bed while you're on the couch.
My auntie was here with us last night and used to work on movie sets in South Dakota. I always want to film the Indian movies in South Dakota. She's a driver. And so she said that she used to drive Tantu. And that sometimes she would, like, Tantu would say, I'm coming with you tonight on all your runs. Just I gotta get out of this hotel. I gotta get out.
I love
about
that.
Just how approachable and so it's very wonderful to. So for me as the announcer, like announcing her as it was happening, because all of those, you know, are Hollywood royalty. I didn't know that they were there. I knew the same time the audience knew, and which was wonderful because it was pure.
I know. It's my voice.
I was thrilled. I felt I really felt like over that.
Really made it like and that's the entertainment of fashion. You know, it's not like what you see on TV where the I mean it is if you're part of Fashion Weeks, obviously, but this is entertainment. This is where we get the chance to make something our own. We're not trying to conform again. We're not.
Right.
Yeah. We're trying to make something that's our own. And traditionally, we honor the people who have done the work. We've always honored the people that have done the work. We did it yesterday with all of you who do the hard work here at Res. I mean, we need to keep those types of traditions, because if we don't keep those traditions, then we've lost what is indigenous about Native fashion. We've lost what's indigenous about the creations that we're making. And that's why this board, you guys are, everything you guys are doing behind the scenes, it's imperative that we have people that are protecting those gates for us, because I don't believe that it's gatekeeping. I believe that it's a thorough check. We have to have that. We have to have people that are making sure our checks and balances are staying in place, and that those who are representing us are doing it properly and are actually people of who are able to represent us, should be representing us. And if not, we're doing an injustice to our elders and to our ancestors by not making sure the door is checked, you know. And you guys are doing a fantastic job. I mean, you guys, that was such, I wasn't even expecting it to be that level. I'll be honest, I was a little nervous. I was like, man, you're stepping up. This is going to be really hard. And it's so funny, because in the back, her and Jean, oh, I forgot to tell you that was Jean Brave Rock that was out there too, from Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Oh, funny story. I think I kicked him out of my suite for this. Because it's all women, and they were getting dressed, and I was just like, I'm so sorry. Only modeling and makeup artists can be in here. Everyone else is going to have to go.
Apologize for what you're going to do. It doesn't matter if you're celebrities or not. They're not supposed to be there. They're not supposed to be there. That's how it is. He was really fun, though. He was fun.
Your show was fun as well. The dancers, the rappers. And I just tell you, my favorite piece. Well, first of all, you dressed me, and I appreciate that. And I loved wearing it, because everyone kept saying, what are you wearing? And everyone was like, who are you wearing? I was like, of course it's Kayla.
Thank you.
The hat that Margaret Faliano wore, tilted to the side, took my breath away.
I wanted to see that on the
floor. Oh,
it was great.
Where did that come from?
So the whole concept was, the collection itself is very elegant, edgy. So that's the whole, you know, behind the scene, the designing aspect of it. So I contacted my friend Lynn Taylor, who owns Anti-Creation. She beads hats. And I said, Lynn, you know, it'd be a stunner. I said, you know, Audrey Hepburn, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Mm-hmm. Look at this hat. Let's do something. I was like, I want everybody to have old Hollywood glam, really bringing like back the elegance of, you know, where we are today. You're at a conference space, you're at a you know, business, we want to highlight that. How do we do that? So she was like, I got you. She molded that hat from, I seen it, I was like, okay. And so when she brought it, it was amazing. The beadwork on it, she did the floral that matched my my design I have currently. And just it just looked like Margaret wearing it, we practiced in it, it was just phenomenal. She hit it at every mark. And that dress she's wearing is called, we're going to name it the Margaret bodycon dress. You know, it looks like, I said, that dress makes you look like you're on fire, because on the bottom, it like definitely has like that fiery orange burn penny type of look. And we just had that whole thing. And we're like, let's do very like Carmen San Diego, like very inconspicuous, dress. Oh God. Yeah. So it's really speaking. Kind of speaking to sustainability. So those beaded patches were actually from a dress I did like 2 years ago for an event that I made for Queen Angelique Monet. She's married to they have a cocoa farm, so a king in Nigeria. So when she comes to the city, she asked for private events of showing of my fashion, because she's just a huge supporter. She loves my stuff, and I'm like, oh my God. So I made this silk dress with those beaded patches, and I never showed anybody, really. I don't even know where the pictures are, to be honest, but I was like, I'm gonna reuse these patches. I love, you know, I was like, I'm gonna redo them. So then I added them on the coat, and we did the whole K, you know, just, I don't know if you can, I randomly have the cape on. So that's been, I was like, let's do it. Let's just have that whole look. So yeah, she pulled it off great. Thank you. Couldn't be happier. I could barely even see yours. It was like, there's no, I know.
Constellation. I'm at the DJ booth, and I also am like this.
Oh God.
I don't think I've ever, last time was less, the first time I actually watched my show at Res. Like, I'd never watched my people walk. And last night I was actually directing them, and it was fun and just giving them some confidence before they went out there. But the reason I was able to do that was because I had a team. You know, I have a manager and I have a you know, assistant that came in, and then I also had our model coordinator, who was Shirlene. You guys should hire her here. She's so good. She is so good at just keeping people online and organizing. But it's those people behind the scenes that are make it so that, you know, people like us, like Kayla and I, can enjoy seeing our own work, because we don't really get to too often.
That was one of the first things I did when I first started. I mean, because I'm pretty new, you know, to this whole, you know, just navigating the fashion space and getting into it. But I was like, I need to create. How do I do that? So my executive assistant, Marlene, has been like amazing.
Oh, she
literally has handled all of those things for me and giving me time to create or push, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, last minute sewing. Yeah. Oh God,
they're so valuable. I call him Gay RJ because my manager is also named RJ and he's straight. So there's Gay and Straight RJ. That's going for it with needles and left and right and things and like that. We're like, what do you got? What do you need? What do you need? You know, and they jump in but that's part of the fashion rush. It's fun and it's like stressful. And afterwards, you're like, holy cow, I can't think of just what's it that many emotions, that many days. But yeah, no, it's really like so imperative that you have people, that your community around you, that the people that you support. Otherwise, you don't get to enjoy the things that we did last night. And I have to say, that was really enjoyable after everything that I've been through the last few months, is that to come back to that and to be, have that opportunity to show what I've come back from. And I don't know if you heard my intro, but when I began, I said I am Redberry Woman, because I don't know if many know this, but that is my native name. That is my given name. And behind you could hear Greg Greycloud, who's also, he's a teacher for down in Crow Creek. And he works with young people with horse therapy. And he's a fluent speaker. And so he spoke. Well, he's Lakota, I'm Dakota, but he spoke in his tongue. They tell me I am Lakota. I think that was after I cussed a few people out. But then I asked the question, what happens when you're sent by your ancestors and you're motivated by your people? What you saw last night is what happens when that occurs. And I've always said that I've always been sent by my ancestors and that my people are the reason. And I like how you say so professionally, but for me, it's like asking Auntie. I got to ask my Auntie, you know, I'm doing this right or doing this wrong. I'll be honest, I can give a shit with anybody. Oh, sorry. I don't care what anybody says as far as like what I have to say, you know, on like interviews and this and that, or what people have to say about what I'm doing. The people I'm worried about it being correct with are the people who taught me, the people that know themselves traditionally, whether or not I'm doing something wrong. You know, there's things, certain items we wear, we don't wear. There's some men don't wear, women wear, you know, things like that. And even though I've grown up in it, it's always nice to be able to call an auntie. You know, like I get on the phone with my aunties and I'm like, hey, I'm thinking of making this. What do you think? Is this something that you're going to do? You know what I mean? So because sometimes I get these ideas and I'm like, okay. Am I going to be the next one canceled or? I'm pretty sure this dress is going to get me canceled.
I think you just gave me an idea for a new segment for next time.
Call it Auntie.
Yes.
I feel like I'm waiting for my auntie to be wrong.
Your auntie's going to tell you.
Yeah. I am the auntie now. Until she called me auntie, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. You guys, thanks. This has been fun learning that at 42. So.
You know what I think would be interesting is you two are so inspirational to will be and are so inspirational to many of our viewers. It might be nice for you guys to give a little words of wisdom to those new into it, up and coming. What are some things you could say to them and you can share based on your travels and where you're at now?
Honestly, like for me personally, I feel that anybody who has the dream, want to do something, the best thing to do is to just do it. But I think, you know, be prayerful
for me, like being prayerful at a certain time, like you find your time of power, mm-hmm. you know, and what works best for you. Mm-hmm. And whether that's at, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock at night, whatever, there's a certain, you know, we all not on the same schedule of our energy. So I just feel like whatever that is for you, for me, like it's sunrise. I literally have like all my inspiration at that time, and it's management. So your time management, because I'm a mother, I'm a wife, you know, you have not just designing to do, you have a million other things to do, but it's just, it's time management, you know, and just be prayerful and just believe in yourself, because the Creator gives us all gifts. And if we don't utilize those gifts, you know, they can be taken from us. So I think mm-hmm. that, you know, that's really something to just remember.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That is really, there's not a lot to add to that, except.
I'm a maker.
I do have some of that. So I think my advice really, is what I like to tell people is to get yourself a set of blinders, because mm-hmm. if you're going to focus on other people and what other people are doing, and if you're worried about what other people are doing or mm-hmm. what other people know or don't know, if you're worried about that in comparison to yourself, then you're not going to progress. You're not going to go anywhere. Nobody wins a race by standing there watching how fast everybody else is running. So get in there, start doing, get your blinders on. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Do the work properly. Get advice properly. I've been raised in this since the day I was born, being Indigenous, living on the reservation. And a lot of our stories, it's crazy because it sounds like a third world country. And sometimes, you know, like living in Fort Peck, growing up in Fort Peck with my grandmother and picking up these things. These are all things that these are my learned, lived experiences that I'm putting into these garments. And even so, I still check myself with those, my elders I have left and my aunts who are here, especially my aunts, because they'll be the first ones to get after me, you know, like I do with my kids, you know, and it's like, That is what you need to focus on, is just doing the work properly and not worrying about how everybody else is doing it. Just do it for you and have that passion behind it. Because if you're doing it for money, you're out. If you're doing it for fame, you're out. Because eventually people read those. Eventually people will read those things about you if you don't have more depth about what you're doing and why you're doing it and have a purpose. And don't regurgitate what everybody else is saying. Have your own purpose. And once you have your own purpose and once you have your own drive and you keep those blinders on, you'll be all right. I don't know how far you make it, but you'll be all right.
Well, I think we certainly appreciate the words and stories that you both shared
with us today.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm just
free at lunch.
Yeah. Well, happy having you back. For sure, because I feel like there's so much more to learn and laugh about. So, yeah. But thank you for joining us on The Cutting Edge. Until next time. Mm.